In the name of Jesus, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." He knows whereof he speaks. He was himself led into temptation, and led by the Spirit, no less. Our readings this week, in fact, seem to rub our noses in the harsh reality of temptation. It is, of course, one thing to speak and reflect together about temptation as a theological topic, and it is quite a different thing altogether to be bushwhacked by the tempter when we are alone and weak and empty-handed. It is not a question of if, but a question of when. And in the moment you get blindsided, you realize that temptation is not an exercise to test how strong you are. Be as strong as you want. It can and will be used against you in the moment of temptation. Temptation stories can sound like cautionary tales, stories of appalling defeat and ruin that serve to warn us and put us on our guard, or tales of victorious moral courage that are supposed to make us bold and strong when it's our turn in the battle. But the stories we hear in our readings are not really stories like that. To be precise, writes Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Bible tells only two temptation stories, the temptation of the first man and the temptation of Christ. That is, the temptation which led to man's fall and the temptation which led to Satan's fall. All other temptations in human history have to do with these two stories of temptation. Either we are tempted in Adam, or we are tempted in Christ. Either the Adam in me is tempted, in which case we fall, or the Christ in us is tempted, in which case Satan is doomed to fall. The story of the temptation of the first human beings led to the fall of humanity and leaves in its wake the wreckage of sin and death that still surrounds us in this world. You and I live in the bombed out ruins of the world God created, the humanity God intended. Our own lives reveal the damage. Of course, a lot of people, a lot of the time, may not even notice that this is so. They have, after all, never lived in a world that wasn't blasted by sin. They've never known anybody who didn't carry those scars and suffer those consequences. But don't get too used to it. This is not the way it's supposed to be. People aren't supposed to die. Marriages aren't supposed to end. Parents and children aren't supposed to be at each other's throats. In the film As Good As It Gets, the character played by Jack Nicholson is a badly damaged personality, really dysfunctional in most ways, definitely in need of professional help. In a crucial scene of that movie, he's leaving his doctor's office and he looks around at the other patients who are waiting there with their various symptoms and ailments of the mind, and although he may not really be thinking about them at all, he wonders aloud, what if this is as good as it gets? Okay, now, I want you to glance furtively and inconspicuously right and left of you and consider the sinners seated near you, those with whom you live and eat and go to class, and then consider your own private, peculiar body of empirical evidence for the doctrine of original sin. And ask yourself, what if this is as good as it gets? Well, as long as we stay with the temptation story of Adam and Eve, this is about as good as it gets. But there's another story with another outcome. The story that led not to our fall, but to Satan's fall. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Alone, hungry, empty-handed, the tempter pounces at the moment of Jesus' weakness. But this time, Satan is defeated, beaten back, not by Jesus flexing his unlimited divine muscles, but by the sheer word and promise of God to which he clings as temptations are thrown at him one after the other. That's what it means to say that he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. The disaster in the garden was being undone in the desert. It trivializes Christ's victory to reduce it to a moral example. I will therefore not derive some three-point Deuteronomy principles for winning victory over temptation in your life. The point here is not to urge you to play the Jesus part when Satan waylays you. When Jesus defeated temptation, he did it with you and me strapped on his back. He carried us through temptation, all the way up to the cross, down into the tomb, up and out again. His story is our story. His weakness was our weakness. His temptation, our temptation. His victory, our victory. Not because we have learned to play the Jesus role in the story, but because he played ours and got it right. The two temptation stories, the only two temptation stories, have been told. And it's really just a question of which story you have to do with. Either we are tempted in Adam, and we lose, or we are tempted in Christ, and then Satan is doomed to lose. When you are tempted, I say when, not if, you are tempted. Out of the blue, when you're alone and weak and empty-handed, your victory does not depend on your strength or your preparation. It depends on Christ and him crucified and nothing else. The tempter is just wasting his ammunition again, shooting at Christ who carries you alive and whole out of the wreckage and out of harm's way with a shout and a song of triumph. And so we sing.